Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Friends with Friends. I'm Pete Allison. I'm very warm and I'm sat on a wooden chair. You may be able to hear my sticky thighs. Here's Dave Cribb.
Ahoy, hoy. How are we? I cannot hear your sticky
Hang on.
Thighs.
Do you want to try?
Go on, I guess so.
Well, no. Can't actually hear them.
No. What noise did you want them to make?
I thought it'd be like a peeling noise. Because, to be clear, I am wearing shorts. It's just
Fine. It is a warm day. It's warm, warm, warm. That's my friend's based reference for when it's warm. Instead of lean, 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 I say warm, warm, warm in my head and expect people to get it. And do you know what, Pete? They never get it.
Oh,
I think that applies to any sort of one-syllable word of that ilk. And you can replace lean, 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 which ironically is from an episode with Stu the waiter, isn't it?
All the best references are the ones that take some explaining.
Yeah, or just fly so far under the radar that people don't get it at all, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if I just go, warm, 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 people aren't going, oh, what's that cool reference from? They're just going, you're a bit weird, aren't you? And then there's the occasional Friends fan that really get it. And that's where I get my kicks, Peter, I tell you that. I've never felt more alive.
We have two things to tell people.
Crikey Moses. What's the first one? Oh, tension. Tension
yeah.
gate.
Yeah, go. You go. You do that one first. Or do you want me to do my one first?
Yeah, it's your one. That's tension. Okay, it's yours, isn't it?
So we, at the end of last week's episode, said that we didn't have a quiz this week because, spoiler, Charlie, who has requested this week's episode, had sent us a quiz, but the link to it had expired. I emailed Charlie before recording saying, oh, are you able to resend it? Charlie replied saying that she would do another one and send it over in the next hour.
Oh, my God.
Now, she said that 25 minutes ago.
Oh, no!
Which I think approximately should make it perfect timing
yeah.
for the quiz to arrive in the Friends with Friends inbox precisely as we need it.
Is she doing an entirely new quiz, though?
No, she said she thinks she's got notes.
Fine, because that is nuts. I mean, good nuts, like, you know, honey roasted cashews.
Oh, hang on, I did bad maths.
She said that
35 minutes ago, so within the next 25 minutes it should arrive.
I just think it's important that whenever it arrives we have to do the quiz, because imagine that we just don't and just finish the episode. That'd be
or just
something.
Instant quiz.
No, not when it arrives. As in, if it takes a bit longer, we have
to
jump back on and do the quiz at some point.
Fine.
Otherwise, that is bad, isn't it? I don't want her to have done a quiz.
What if it arrives mid-episode? Would you like me to flag that with you?
Yes, a quiz alarm.
Okay.
Just can you tweet like a bird, but with the word quiz?
Well, maybe I'll find some sort of sound effect on Spotify.
No, I'd like you to tweet like a bird.
I'm not going
to
tweet like a bird.
Peter? Tweeter?
I'm not doing that.
Peter the Tweeter.
Stop
now. Quiz, that kind of thing, you know?
Do you know what I'll play?
Quiz.
I'll play the opening notes of a 2023 remix of Candy Staten's Young Hearts Run Free, because that is the last thing I was listening to on Spotify and it is ready to go.
You are such a stereotype.
So when you hear this noise,
oh,
that
a banger,
means,
isn't it?
Oh, huge banger. It's one of my favourite songs. The original is, not the remix. Do you know why I love that song, Dave?
Why?
Because it sounds like an absolute disco banger, because it is one, but actually, the opening lyrics, incredibly depressing.
Yeah, you're right, actually, yeah. Saturday Night Live and all that.
They are so bleak.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Nice. Good. Nice little juxtaposition. Thank you for listening to our episode on pop music and why it's multi-layered.
Yeah.
The other bit of business. Now, you will remember, not last week, Pete, because frankly, I didn't get around to it last week, but the week before, we had a double request, didn't we? We had the one request. Then Danny had commented under the Instagram post saying, oh, this is my episode as well, by the way. Please, can you mention me? You know? And what we did was mention her. And what we didn't do was read her full request. So then she messaged to say, oh, didn't get my full request. That's sad. I was like, oh my God, I didn't realize. And it turned out, Pete, it had got sort of, it was festering somewhere in our requests inbox, you know? 2 weeks late, here is Danny's request for the one with a pediatrician.
That we did 2 weeks ago.
Perfect. Ahoy, Dave and Pete. Love the podcast. Oh, I don't mind reading this out. I'll tell you that. Cannot believe I only discovered you guys a couple of months ago, hey? This was in April. I called it recent. It's still 3 months ago. The plus side to this is I had many episodes to binge on. I'd like to request that you talk about one of my faves, which is the one with the pediatrician. I love this episode because it features one of my absolute favourite lol moments, Mike's miming of playing the piano. I tell you what, Pete, since we discussed that, I've received that gif a number of times.
Have you?
Twitter, Instagram, WhatsApp, just from friends of mine that listen to the podcast, a lot of them. So thank you. Keep them coming. Really pleased. A couple of moments of discussion for you guys. Ross is blatantly holding a fake baby in the first couple of scenes. Oh, this is why we should have read Danny's request at the time, Pete. We could have addressed these
things. Missed the fake baby.
Why is Phoebe ready a whole 2 hours before meeting for their double date? Yes, fair. Very fair. Monica's headhunter friend Nancy, who's failed to tell her before now that Javi was asked for her.
Got that one.
Yeah.
Got that one.
Bang. Chandler's clearly empty suitcase. Yeah, they're very bad at suitcases and friends, aren't they? And my favourite line of the whole episode, Ross, it didn't spend much time on the wall. Thanks, guys. Danny from Bromley. And then a month later in May, she did say, I just thought I'd send a little bump of my request. Thanks, guys. And then here we are today, having finally read it out. Anyway, Danny, frankly, you've now had more time on the podcast between this and correspondence than anyone else has had. So I hope it was worth it. And I hope you enjoyed the episode 2 weeks ago.
Do you know who does now deserve a bit of time?
Is it Charlie?
It is Charlie, yeah.
Ahoy, Dave and Pete. I've chosen season 8, episode 8, the one with the stripper. Like Dave, I'm mainly a fan of seasons 1 to 5. I much prefer Monica and Chandler when they're single, and as a couple, I find Monica more irritating and Chandler less funny. But I watched this episode the other day, and I did indeed lol on more than one occasion. Nearly all my favourite Friends episodes involve the Geller or the Green parents. Dr. Green, excellent as the angry, overprotective and rude father, and brilliantly sums up that older generation that are unable to deal with a vegetarian lesbian. Yeah, watching Dr. Green in this episode is incredibly infuriating. But
oh, he's a horrible person.
But so relatable, isn't he, for that sort of...
Yeah.
I don't want to use the word boomer. You know what I mean.
Though,
he
would use the words woke and snowflake.
Yes, yes. But without really knowing what either meant.
Yeah.
Ross is at his best in this episode, telling Mona, I thought it would be better if you heard it from Rachel's father. Such a good line. Joey's great too, leaving the answer phone message on Ross's machine about the hooker really made me laugh. Yeah, it's a very good moment, isn't it? Chandler calling the hooker a whore didn't seem to go down too well with the audience. You can hear quite a few gasps. Yeah, the word whore is quite, does stand out, doesn't it, in this episode?
They use a few different words, don't they?
Yeah, someone's got the prostitute thesaurus out. I'll tell you that for free.
What term should we go for? Sex worker?
Yes, we should, shouldn't we, really?
Yeah, I think that's the generally widely accepted one.
Fine, done, sold. Good that we established that actually before. Phoebe and Monica didn't have much going on in this episode, but I did enjoy Phoebe's reactions to Dr. Green. Do you know what? I think Phoebe has a great episode in this. She's got three or four banging lines. She doesn't play a huge role plot-wise, but she carries the sort of levity side-tracking of this, especially her wine chat, which we'll get onto in a bit.
Yeah, she's very valuable presence at the evening meal because Dr. Green is so unpleasant that we need a bit of Phoebe there.
Yes, exactly. I've included a link for a quiz. I've never done this before, so apologies if it hasn't worked.
It hasn't.
Frankly, it hasn't. Thanks for doing the Best Friends podcast. I've listened to quite a few, and they've all been rubbish compared to yours. Yes, thank you.
That's a better version of saying love the podcast.
That's much nicer, isn't it? Yes.
She's leveled up there as Charlie.
Wouldn't want to listen to an incredibly boring Friends podcast, would you?
Absolutely not, no.
Take care, Charlie Mechia. She's put a pronunciation guide, which I very much appreciate. Recently moved from Brighton and Hove to the suburbs of Burgess Hill. Not a place you will ever need to visit, I promise you.
Where's you don't know Burgess that, Charlie. Hill? You don't need that. You don't know that. We might one day have a need to.
I think she knows that reverse psychology works on us, and the fact she said that now means that we're... All right, I'm booking my trains to Burgess Hill right now.
Burgess Hill, Dave, is a town and civil parish in West Sussex.
It
is 10 miles north of Brighton.
I've got it up here. Do you know what the next town along is? William Hill.
Is it?
I know, that's the betting shop.
Yeah.
It's just, it pops up on my...
It's actually just a branch
of William Hill when I zoom in. So Burgess Hill has a William Hill. It's got a Specsavers. It's got a McDonald's. Bangkok Brasserie. That sounds nice. Hey, do you know what? Really into Burgess Hill at the moment.
Yeah, see you there.
See you there. I'll see you, Charlie, down the Top House on Station Road. Not too busy at this time of day, and it's open till 11 p.m.
Perfect.
So let's do the one with the stripper, shall we, Peter?
Yeah, okay.
The one with the stripper, brackets, if that's referring to Monica, comma, if not, the one with the sex worker, close brackets. 227408, directed by Peter?
Len Beck.
David Schwimmer.
Oh, okay.
Which probably goes a long way to showing why Ross is having a great episode. It's really focusing on Ross's performance in this
episode.
Yeah,
I will only direct the ones that I star in.
Yes, exactly. Here is your synopsis. Rachel has an evening meal with her dad to tell him she is pregnant, but intimidated by him, she lies and said Ross is unsupportive. Dr. Green then threatens Ross, which nearly ruins his budding romance with Mona. Meanwhile, Monica hires a stripper for Chandler, who never got to have a bachelor party, unaware the woman is actually a sex worker. I've edited that as I went, can you tell?
Fine.
Where would you like to start?
Well, there's kind of two here, right?
There's three, I guess, isn't there? There's Rachel and her dad, Ross and Mona, and then...
But I'm kind of including Ross and Mona because they end
up... sort of tying them in together, are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Okay, let's start with the sex worker then, shall we?
Because
that's the titular one, but then also probably the smallest one if we're bundling the other two together, you know? This starts in the coffee shop where Phoebe shouts the words... He's the stripper from your bachelorette party so loudly, it's almost socially unacceptable.
Yeah, there's no subtlety or tact involved, is there?
No, and it feels like if she hasn't picked up on Monica's social cues, which are, no, we don't know him, you know, like what she should have done by now, then... Just shouting that sentence in general in the middle of the day in a coffee shop should be a bit of an alarm bell, right?
Well, on two counts. Partly because of the stripper themselves may hear it and be, you know, affronted, yeah. But also because Chandler doesn't know about it.
Yes, exactly.
Two levels.
She's given the game away heavily, as she continues to do so with Monica untying the G-string with her teeth, which is, frankly, an impressively delicate job.
Yeah, it's true. It's like people that can tie, what is it? Like the stalk
the
of a cherry.
Stem with
yeah.
a tongue.
I think that's a myth.
I think that's bullshit. I cannot imagine how that is even possible.
Because you either can't do it or you'd probably die choking attempting it.
It's just too small a length to tie into a knot, right? I don't think I could do it with my fingers, never mind a tongue.
I thought you meant tie your fingers in knots.
No, I can't. No, I couldn't tie. No, I couldn't tie a cherry stem with my fingers. I don't think.
Sure, got it.
Some would say we're getting sidetracked early. Let's get back to Friends. Okay. Anyway, Chandler's upset, and to be fair, what a dick move by Monica to ban him having a bachelor party and then have her own secret one.
Well, exactly. One rule for her, another rule for him.
What? And that book she got him? Tell you what, she hasn't read it, has she?
But he's got great value out of it because he's just sort of memorized the quotes and all sorts.
Yeah, it really feels like he is learning and growing as a man from that book. And, you know, he might be growing into a more boring man compared to, you know, as Charlie flags. He's not old Chandler anymore, but he's more considerate. And that is to be applauded.
I do think what ends up being a two-man audience for what they think is a stripper feels very bleak, doesn't it? Sort of rattling around in a big apartment. They've got a sad little sandwich platter as well.
There's not even any music on when what they think is a stripper's about to arrive.
Well, no, the platter, it does almost look like they've got catering in. So they have gone to some effort to make it an event. But if it's just two of you, I feel like you don't need catering.
No, I don't, or hats, or I know Chandler's sort of like, oh, what are you doing, when Joey tries to pretend it's a real bachelor party, but they've already crossed that Rubicon, haven't they? Because they've got, like you say, catering, party hats, what are they called? Hooters? Party Hooters?
Yeah.
That's what they're called.
What do you think would be the food that you'd feel the least comfortable eating in front of a stripper? Because I think a sandwich is quite that's not a very sexy food.
Well, inappropriate, hot dog.
Yeah, okay.
Unsexy, pot noodle.
Pot noodle?
It's impossible to eat a pot noodle sexily. If you're listening outside of Britain and you don't have pot noodles.
Oh, you could probably tell what it is. It's noodles in a pot.
Sure. But it's. I had this conversation, I think maybe for the first time in my teenage years, with my friend Jess. And we were talking about how unsexy a pot noodle is, because it's impossible to eat.
It has also just a sort of lazy student energy to it.
Yeah, as a thing, it's very much gives a certain impression. But the actual mechanics of eating it, Pete, I'm going to say two words to you now that completely apply to pot noodles and will indicate immediately why it's not a sexy food. It is both slurpy and dribbly. And neither of those are sexy.
Opposite question.
Yeah.
What do you think would be, if you had to, if you book a stripper and it's going to be catered, what is an appropriate food to be eating?
Appropriate, again, in terms of not suggestive, or in terms of just tidy?
Tidy, yeah, just it fits the vibe.
I was going to say finger food, but that feels inappropriate. Do you know what I mean? So let me tell you through my thought train then. I was like, sushi isn't messy. And then I immediately thought raw fish, bad vibe.
Yeah.
But like a sort of non-fishy version of sushi. That's how I got to finger food. But I've already said the words raw fish and finger food now. And in this context, they are both not applicable. Yeah, what do you think?
You have killed the vibe.
Yeah, very much.
I reckon... various chocolate-covered fruit.
Sexy and good.
Yeah, I reckon fits the vibe. Chocolate, strawberry dipped in chocolate.
Never let it be said this podcast doesn't offer you proper life guidance. And
catering advice for when you have a stripper.
I tell you what's also even more bleak, but hilarious watching this back, is a stripper arriving to two men in two party hats with a party sort of hooter is... one level of bleak. But the fact we now know she's a sex worker, what must she have thought when she opened that door and there's two men in party hats waiting and one putting his hand up and going, woohoo?
Who was seemingly sort of intending to...
join in?
Or like take it in turns.
Yes, exactly. There was an element of, you know, as is understandable considering they thought she was a stripper, an element of group activity expectation, wasn't there?
Yeah.
What I would say is, Pete, and this is now going to show a naivety, which I'm quite happy to show because, but naivety nonetheless, having no experience in this world of sex workers, she seems very clinical and let's get down to business about her manner. I'd have thought there'd been a bit more softly, softly catchy monkey, as it were, you know?
In what context? Softly, softly, catchy monkey?
I just would have thought if you'd have hired a sex worker.
Oh, you mean there might be a bit of sort of casual chat first?
Just a bit of chat.
Yeah,
just
but
a bit
she's
of
a professional.
Like
you,
easing someone into it, though.
She might have several clients that day.
Of course, but she's surely just booked for an hour either way, or however long the time period is. It doesn't matter to her what happens in that hour, right? She is literally like, right, where's the bedroom? Boom. Within 3 seconds, she's fully naked on the bed. I would have thought that would have been part of the experience, right?
She could have helped herself to a sandwich.
Yeah, she could have had a sandwich at this point. Once, by the time she wraps herself up in a duvet, she could have enjoyed the catering and just cracked on with it. Had a nice hour, you know?
Yeah.
I just figured that, like, that it was very, she was very like, boom, 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 this is what's going to happen. Which one's Chandler? All right, in we go. Let's go.
Shagging a sandwich, good day at work.
Ah!
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Big fan of Stu the Waiter.
Yeah, he's great, isn't
Always a big fan of Stu
the Waiter. He plays exactly the same, and I think we've mentioned this when he's appeared in Friends before. He plays exactly the same character in Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've never watched Everybody Loves Raymond.
The same weedy kind of guy.
I don't know much about his oeuvre of professional credits, but I would imagine.
I reckon his IMDb reads like, nervous man.
Yeah. Awkward man. Socially awkward man. Yeah, exactly. I think he probably does occupy a certain type within
Fred Stoller. That's his name.
It is, yeah. That rings. I was like, why does that name ring a bell? Probably because I've looked it up before. Monica, having hired a sex worker accidentally, I'd say what she could have done is just called Chandler. That would have been quicker.
Yeah,
did she have to leave her incredibly busy kitchen in the middle of what looked like a very busy shift?
Oh, she'd run straight out the door, doesn't she?
Straight bolts like a horse through a open door.
Yeah.
Whatever that phrase is. But call him. Presumably her restaurant is at least minimum 10, 15 minutes away from her apartment, right?
I do like how she then politely introduces herself to the sex worker.
Yes. Yeah.
She's like, we spoke on the phone?
And then we end this storyline with Monica doing her own striptease for Chandler, which contains, for me, one of the funniest lines of the whole episode, which is Chandler saying, can you not narrate?
Yeah, that is good.
Because it's so perfectly done when Monica just sort of goes, ooh, these boots are a bit. It's like, come on, Monica, I know you're not a professional, but you don't need to explain it as you go. Should we dive into then what is sort of the other half of this episode, which is the Rachel and her dad tied in with Ross and Mona?
Which all begins with Rachel's fear of revealing stuff to her dad. You know the mention of how her dad, upon hearing that she bought a packet of cigarettes?
Yeah.
Like, I think the more common threat from a parent is that, like, make you smoke all of them, right? Because you find that so unpleasant.
Yeah.
But Rachel's dad's threat is apparently to make her eat them.
Bizarre, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, disgusting. So probably very...
Well, it would work, but she'd also probably be quite sick.
Yeah, and he's a doctor.
Yeah.
Very bad form. I guess it would put you off cigarettes. What I was going to say is it wouldn't give you the same... Like, smoking them all is like trying to make you say, oh, you didn't like this, did you? Whereas eating them, I'd think you'd be like, well, if I smoke them, they'll probably be fine.
Yeah, true.
Because that's how they're supposed to be, you know? First episode that has Dr. Green in since season 3, Pete.
Oh, he's been gone a while.
Over 5 years. Season 3, episode 7, nonetheless. So literally 5 years and one ep. And he's only got one more after this, and that's the one where he gets a heart attack. So this is pretty much his sort of...
No, he's not really in it much. He's seen it quite... Has he seen it several times early on?
Healthy swan song. Not loads, no. No. I can give you a full rundown if you want.
Yeah, all right. How many episodes? Just tell me how many he's in.
Place your bets. No, place your bets. Oh. How many episodes is he in?
5.
Lower.
Really? 4?
Exactly right.
Right.
Quite a short game. But yeah, he's only in 4 episodes.
Right.
One with the 2 parties, that's the one.
I mean, I'm glad because he's just quite unpleasant.
One with the race car bed, which is when he's out for dinner and, you know, it's a very similar episode to this, actually, where he's out for dinner with Rachel and Ross, isn't he? With the tipping saga, then this one, and then the one where Joe speaks French, which is when he has his heart attack. Very few episodes, actually. He's a big character in Friends, considering he's barely in it.
Yeah.
He's an awful prick, isn't he? It's unpleasant to watch. He demonstrates almost all the traits of people that I dislike the most.
He looks like he has very sort of like his body language and how intense he is and how he's always on and angry. I feel like he has incredibly high blood pressure.
Well, I mean, we know what's coming, don't we?
Well, that's true, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It all ties in, doesn't it? Being rude to waiters, huge red flag for me.
Terrible reflection on a person, yeah.
Terrible reflection of a person. Similarly, people that think they should order food for everyone. What the absolute crap is that about?
Ah! It's arrived. It's arrived. How much of this do you want? Incredibly good timing. Oh my God, she's gone all out. She made a little Google form and everything. What a moment that was.
I enjoyed that a lot.
Oh my God, Jesus Christ.
Has it brought the studio down?
A lamp just fell off the wall.
In excitement at the quiz?
Yeah, that's the... Charlie, that is the power of your quiz.
Do you live in the Beast's castle in Beauty and the Beast?
What?
Like where all the items of furniture have life.
Sentient, yeah.
Sentient lamp. Your sentient lamp. Your Lumiere has just jumped off in excitement and crashed onto the floor.
That's exactly what's happened.
Okay, I'm excited. We've got a quiz. God, that is a real moment. Anyway, what were we talking about? What I really hate is people that... like that sentence that he says, shall I just order the Moroccan chicken for everyone? Why would that ever... Like, we menus... Everyone's got a menu. And everyone's got their own thing. Why would you ever just be like, this is it, this is what I want. Why, should we all have it? Mm. Like, you can still have it. Why do you need everyone else to have it?
No, there's no collaboration there, is there?
But there doesn't need to be. If it's a sort of meal where it's like, oh, should we all share some stuff? Then maybe be like, hey, do you know, I've been here before. Do you fancy sharing all these bits? That's one thing. Brackets, I'm saying that because I'd actually did do that recently, but I was very aware of it. And then I sort of got into a whole spiel afterwards about like, I'm not trying to do the thing where you just order, choose all the food, but like, shall we just like share all this stuff, you know?
But sometimes in a restaurant when you're ordering, in that group situation, you need someone to take some form of...
Agreed. And sometimes...
What am I looking for? Some form of responsibility. Charge.
But that's fine. But what I would say is, A, you usually want other people to be like, hey, do you know what? I don't mind. Why don't you order? You know this place. Fine. That's fine. That's been asked of you, right? If you're going to do that, don't order three of the same fucking thing.
Yeah, fair.
What a waste of a good opportunity as the orderer. You'd be like, all right, I'm going to order my three favourite things and we can all share them.
Dabble, have picky bits.
Right, bloody picky bits. Thank you very much. A picky tea for Dr. Green. I love Phoebe's reaction to his awful wine-based behaviour so much.
Yeah.
Her line of, he's right, the 74 is absolute piss, is one of the funniest lines in all of Friends. I'll stand by that forever.
This scene is great because, well, Phoebe, yes, is such a great neutraliser in quite a sort of aggy, tense scene. But I also, the other great Phoebe bit is when Rachel's dad asks her, what's due with you? She says, I got TiVo. What's TiVo? It's slang for pregnant. Like, Phoebe's just having absolutely none of this. Get straight
she's
in
like,
there.
Let's get this fucking over with. I'm going to make this happen, yeah.
And I also love when Rachel's dad is having a go at her, sort of assuming that she must therefore be engaged and be getting married. And Rachel's sort of weak, yes, he says I'm damaged goods, is really great.
It is great, but Rachel is so scared of her father, isn't she?
Well, yeah. I understand why. He's just a horrible man.
But she's now a grown woman, at which point, like, I get it in old Rachel days where she was clearly relying on him for money, and you know, like, that he would have some sort of power over her.
Yeah.
And obviously, I know there's more deep-rooted psychological issues, but at some point, she's just got to be like, look, I'm pregnant, I'm not getting married, all the best. Like, that's the conclusion she has to get to anyway, unless she's going to actually get married just to keep him happy. So why does it take her so long? Because every time she breaks and in a sort of pathetically goes, yes, it's someone else's fault. You know, like that thing at school when you're trying to lie your way out of a thing you've done.
But in the end, the way that Phoebe sort of helps her overlook his control over her. She ends up sort of ignoring him on the phone and things and going out and going to the cinema instead. So Phoebe's done her a favour there.
That's true. This is true. Shout out to TiVo, though. Is TiVo still on?
It's in this country, it's Virgin Media now, isn't it?
Is that what it became?
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
Or so they really at least use the TiVo like technology, I think.
Yes, yeah, fine. It was like one of the first early versions of like streaming, basically, wasn't it?
It's like rewinding and stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, like sort of the smart TV stuff.
Yeah.
TiVo, I'm just on TiVo.com, Pete, don't worry about it. Just checking what's still going on. It's not very clear whether it's still alive or not, but there you go. It really does age the episode, though, in a very specific way, doesn't it? One of my other favourite lines in this episode that I will quote, and I just in sort of integrate into my life normally. It's not even really a quote. It's more a useful phrase, is when Rachel says, yes and no, except not no. So to sum it up, yeah.
Yeah.
I love the round the houses dance she goes on of that. And that's a really good way of breaking bad news to people, I find.
The other, I'm skipping forward slightly, but I've just, another great Phoebe moment has occurred to me. And it's when Ross comes into the apartment to confront Rachel and she says, I better go, and then just takes a seat.
Yeah, it's really funny. And and the follow-up to that as well later when they have what is for them, as she points out, quite a mature resolution to the problem, and that, you know, they're trying to work together calmly, and she goes, that's it, that's the fight, you know, what happened to all this, oh blah blah blah, we were on a break. I just love that she's just in it for the plot, Phoebe, for this, isn't she? She's trying to drive the plot at the start by getting Rachel to tell her dad, and then she's like, come on, let's have a fight, let's mess this stuff up.
Obviously, Mona forms quite a big part of this plot as well. And it's just another reminder, I think, of how Ross does Mona so dirty. Like, she's even genuinely enthusiastic about his stone collection, which when his friends, like, usually, whenever his work comes up, all his friends are like, ah, fuck off, you old bore.
She is the most tolerant of his, in inverted commas, boring traits and interests.
Oh, if I was her, I'd have bailed before now.
Of course.
For various reasons.
Yeah. But like you say, she pays attention. She takes interest in his interests. Like, he doesn't know what he's got here, because he clearly fancies her loads as well, by the way he talks about her in this episode. So, like, and the fact that he actually puts in a lot of effort across this episode, doesn't he, to make things right with her, considering it's about 5 weeks until this ends forever, and he doesn't really try then, you know, he doesn't prioritize her at any point in the future, and she's sort of written out like all the other middling friends romances are. But at this point, he's really trying to make this work, considering it's not a very long-term thing in the end.
Mona ends up sort of getting it from all angles, because there's even then that totally unprompted line from Rachel about, we all have our baggage, you must too, why else would you still be single? It's like that comes from nowhere.
I took that one quite personally, frankly, Pete.
Oh, I like that line a lot.
No, for sure. But, I mean, how old's Mona in this episode? 32?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, just the implication that we can't just be single by choice, eh, Pete?
Well, no, of course. Look,
just got baggage, have we? Is that the problem?
No, don't...
Damaged goods, are we? So Ross hasn't told Mona about Rachel or the baby by this time, which I think he's only probably 3 or 4 weeks into this relationship. So I do think that's fair. I think you want to be sure of a thing before you drop a huge bombshell like that, right?
Sure.
Like, I think that's probably fine, fairly reasonable for him. Although he does seem to be seeing her a lot, like every day, so maybe it's one of those accelerated relationships, you never know. But then, obviously, his sort of silence on the matter is broken by Dr. Green, who interrupts in a very funny way. And Dr. Green is awful. But I really enjoy the scene of Ross trying to sort of balance between Dr. Green and Mona in this argument. It's very funny.
Yeah, when they're both sort of physically flanking him as well, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. And he's very like, no, I love her, but not like that. And yeah, I care for her, but I don't care at all. You know, all of that sort of stuff of like, it meant nothing. Not like that. I mean, I love her. And it's David Schwimmer is, I mean, very well directed by David Schwimmer here. But I think he brings out this sort of awkward panic, trying to make things better really well in this scene.
Yeah, it's great.
I offered to marry her, but I didn't want to. All that sort of stuff. Ah, lovely. Peak Schwimmer. Where Ross doesn't really excel is in the scene where he invites Mona back and then Rachel's there, because he just stands there like a pathetic little onlooker while Rachel...
And lets Rachel do it all, yeah?
Basically has to dig him out of his situation, right?
Yeah, take some responsibility, Ross.
Come on, Ross, do something there. Also, even just after all that has happened, don't make Mona come round to your apartment. Go to her, like... Yeah. For fuck's sake, like, make a little bit of effort, mate. You're lucky she turned up at all. And as Charlie pointed out in her request, I think one of the best episode moments is when they're in the middle of this really intense thing about Ross, you know, doing the right thing for Rachel with Dr. Green and Ross trying to prove that he's a nice guy and all this. And then that voicemail from Joey, hey, there's a hooker over here and we thought you might know something about it.
Yeah, that is great.
That punctuates it so well. Such a nice moment. Well done, everybody. Any more to say on this plotline, Peter?
No, but I'm excited to do this quiz.
Me too. Quiz time. Da, 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 da. I think I'm always going to associate that song with the quiz now.
Oh, no. Oh, I was just about to play it, and instead I accidentally played Belgium's Eurovision entry.
No, too late. You fucked it now.
And do you not want the quiz, the new quiz theme tune?
Yeah, go on then.
Quiz time.
Da-da-da, quiz, young quiz.
Da-da-da, quiz.
Let's quiz. Everyone quiz. Everyone quiz with me. Da-da-da.
Cool. Charlie, let's quiz. We've not even done your quiz, Charlie, and it has already considerably up the production value of this friend. Question one, what wine does Rachel's father actually order?
The 74 or 75, and I'm annoyed that, you know, 74's pissed. He wants the 74 Lafitte.
It's the 75.
Fuck.
Question two, what wedding date does Rachel make up? I know that one, February 2nd.
Groundhog Day, yeah.
February 2nd.
I saw Groundhog Day last week, and that date stuck in my head for that reason.
The musical.
The musical. Highly recommended, I'd say.
Question three.
Not the right podcast, but still.
What meal does Dr. Green want to order for everyone?
Moroccan chicken.
Yeah, correct. Question four, what does Chandler say to Joey that Monica should do for him on his birthday?
What does Chandler say to Joey?
Oh, is the murder someone. Maybe next time she'll murder someone.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Good.
Question five, we know this one. What's the name of the waiter who recommends the stripper?
Stu.
And bonus question.
Played by Fred Stoller, I think. You find?
Very good. That wasn't the bonus question. Bonus question, what's the name of the song Monica's stripping to? Well, it's Eve, isn't it?
Let me lose my mind. That's a different vibe. Blow your mind.
Let me lose my mind. Bow, 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 boom. Are you singing London Grammar?
No.
Oh, I was singing Help Me Lose My Mind by London Grammar.
Right. So I was singing Eve.
Right. Cool. Both on the same wavelength. Right. Do you all know what next week's episode is?
Always.
It is. Season 5, episode 2, the one with all the kissing.
Oh, is back that from London, are we?
Is that Joshua?
It's when Chandler, the kissing bit is Chandler kissing everybody goodbye because he accidentally kisses Monica in front of Rachel and Phoebe.
Oh, yes.
On the way out.
We do not have a quiz for this one, so you better get to messaging someone on Instagram, Dave.
Okay, I'll do it.
Okay.
I'll do it. Ashley, do you know who you should do as a quiz for next week? It's Danny, because she's had 3 mentions on the podcast now. So, Danny, would you like to do as a quiz for next week?
Are you implying that she owes us one?
No, I just, it's just easier than me sorting it out. Right, so okay. If she's happy to do one, then...
Well, she's not happy to do one.
Well, then she can message and say no, and then I'll have to do some bloody work for once, eh?
Right, okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.